Accession number 13757, Reel 1.
Mr. Sutherland, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Surrey, near Merstham.
And what did your father do for a living?
Well, nowadays he would be called a civil servant.
Did you go to school at Merstham?
No, I went to school at Coalston, and then to school at Purley.
How old were you when you finished your education?
16 and a half.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
What as?
I was with a flour milling company in London.
This was in the late 20s?
Mid-20s.
How did you come to be in the forces, in the army?
It became obvious that there would be war, and I felt I would like to know a bit more about it, about the army before the war started. So I volunteered and became a territorial soldier.
In which unit?
The 1st Battalion, the London Scottish Gordon Highlanders.
Why that particular unit?
Because my name is Sutherland.
Are you of Scottish origins?
Yes, my father came from Sutherlandshire.
What did you think of the training and military experience you had with the Territorials before the war started?
Oh, it was very good, and of course some fun. But it was very useful training.
In what specific particulars was it useful?
3-inch mortars.
Had you expected a war to break out in 1939?
Yes.
So what was your reaction when you heard Chamberlain's announcement that we were at war with Germany?
I knew that I had to go to war.
Were you dismayed in any way?
No, because I had prepared for it and I knew I would have to go.
In what way? You mean the preparation in the TA?
It prepared me for it, but I knew that if there were war, I would have to go.
What happened on mobilisation to you?
We were sent to Chelsea Barracks.
What happened there?
Drill and competing with the 2nd Battalion, the Scots Guards, who occupied part of the barracks, and we occupied the other part.
Had you expected to go to France with the expeditionary force?
One had no idea. Had no idea. No idea.
Did you go, in fact?
No. No. No, I didn't. And after a few months, I was sent to Sandhurst for officer training.
What did you think to the course there?
I've never worked so hard in the army as I did at Sandhurst. It was tough.
How long was the course?
I think I went about January 1940, and I think I was commissioned about June. Yes, I was commissioned May-June. The course was cut short because of the war.
And after the course was finished, what happened to you then?
I was commissioned to the 1st Battalion, Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry, and I joined the regiment at Yelverton in Devon just after they had returned from Dunkirk.
So presumably you didn't experience any of the heavy bombing of the German Air Force in 40-41?
No.
What kind of duties did you have at first?
With the regiment, I took over the mortar platoon.
Can you tell me about the preparations that you made for going across to Normandy?
Well, Normandy was June 1944, and I'm talking about 1940, so there was 4 years of extensive training, all of which was done either in this country or in Northern Ireland.
What was the political situation in Northern Ireland when you were there? Was there any danger from any hostile forces?
Yes, there was, but we didn't know it until we met it. I went with a colleague to Belfast on a Saturday afternoon. We were in a small pub having a very quiet glass of beer and talking, and the proprietor came to us and he said, "It's time you went." And we weren't sure what he meant. And we turned round, and at the door there was a bunch of real thugs in civilian clothes. And we got up and we left safely. But that is why we were told, "It's time you went."
Did they say anything to you?
No, not a word. And fortunately, we had no trouble. We just walked through them and all was well.
Were they armed in any way?
I couldn't tell you.
Do you think it was political or maybe just criminal?
Political. The situation is in Northern Ireland now.
Was there anything else there in Northern Ireland which you remember of that kind?
No.
Did anybody make you welcome in Northern Ireland?
We weren't in touch with civilians. We were stationed at Loch Ness, and I was sent into hospital from Northern Ireland.
Which year were you in Northern Ireland, do you think?
Right, yes, I was sent into hospital, and I think it was 1943.
Now, can you continue with the question of the preparations for D-Day, please? For Normandy?
Well, there was a variety of training. There were lots of exercises which meant that you were away from your camp or billets or wherever you were for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 days, and you were out in the open, and that was either summertime or wintertime, and sometimes in the winter it was severe.
Where were you immediately before the crossing to Normandy?
We were in Faversham in Kent.
The whole battalion?
Yes.
And what was supposed to be the role of your battalion?
We were follow-up troops. We didn't land in Normandy on D-Day. We were follow-up troops. And the troops of the regiment, the soldiers, they embarked in Southampton. By then I was regimental transport officer, and I had to take all the regimental transport up to London, and we embarked in the docks, but which dock I don't remember.
What kind of responsibilities did you have as regimental transport officer?
To ensure that all the regimental transport was fit and mobile.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Was it all new equipment?
Oh no, it wasn't all new.
But serviceable?
Yes.
I think you had some unpleasant incident with somebody on the dock side.
Yes, I was very annoyed. It was a stevedore or senior docker or whoever who would insist when all the vehicles were loaded on this ship that there was still one to be loaded. He would not accept that they were all loaded. I knew that they were, until in the end he said, "It's knocking off time, Governor, I'll see you tomorrow morning." I could have shot him.
What do you think explains his attitude?
Bloody-mindedness. Union-mindedness.
Did you say anything to him?
I probably did, but I don't remember.
What was the morale of the battalion as you prepared to go across?
Very good. Very good.
Were you apprehensive yourself?
Probably, yes. Because you didn't know whether you would come back.
Did you expect it to be a massacre on the beaches in Normandy?
No, because we were follow-up troops. And in any case, we were delayed in sailing because there was a storm in the channel which delayed us for 2 or 3 days, I don't remember.
Which day do you think you went across? Was it actually D-Day or
no, no, D we didn't go across. I would think it was D plus three.
What happened on the crossing?
We were the leading ship in the convoy. One of the ships was falling behind, and I remember the convoy commander, or whatever his rank was constantly ordering the ship to keep its station until he finally asked for the name of the chief engineer, and that did it. The ship did keep its station. We were supported by E-boats that were running up and down the convoy.
Which ship did you cross in, do you think?
I don't remember the name of the ship.
Did you arrive in daylight or at night?
No, we arrived off the beaches in daylight.
What picture did the beaches present?
A shambles.
Can you describe it?
It's very difficult to describe it now, but landing craft came alongside the ship that I was on with the regimental transport. Landing craft came alongside, and I had to supervise the unloading of all the transport from the ship into the landing craft, and then the landing craft went to the beach.
How were the vehicles got from the ship onto the craft?
By winch or crane or whatever it might be called, and I had to direct the winchman on the ship. I developed a very good understanding with them, with the aid of two fingers, either beckoning them down or one side or another, until I heard somebody on the ship giving instructions, and I looked up and I said, "Who the bloody hell is that?" And it was the commanding officer, and he very kindly walked away and didn't say a word.
So his presence was superfluous?
Yes, I was in charge, not him.
Were there any mishaps in the unloading of the vehicles?
No, we were very fortunate, and although all the drivers were trained in waterproofing and all the vehicles were waterproofed, we had a fairly dry landing and there were no mishaps.
Where were you unloading on the Normandy coast?
Arromanches, or Courseuil, which is on the map you have.
Was there any enemy incoming fire at
no,
the stage?
No, not on the beach.
Was it rough?
I don't remember that it was rough. I think it was a fairly good landing.
What kind of vehicles were there?
There were what are called soft vehicles and also tracked vehicles, Bren carriers.
So the soft tops were lorries?
Lorries, yes. No, and jeeps, they're known as soft vehicles. And the others were Bren gun carriers, rather like small tanks.
What happened once everything had been disembarked?
I had to rendezvous with all the troops who had come in from Southampton in a field somewhere in Normandy. I don't remember where. Obviously, I would have had a map reference, and I was fortunate in finding the regiment.
How soon did the units go into action?
That I don't remember. But we didn't have very much respite. It wasn't my job to stick bayonets in people. That was the troops, and they were a bit further forward than I was.
What were the main problems that you had personally once you were ashore in Normandy?
I don't think I had any personal problems.
With the work that you had to do?
No. You were trained for that and you just got on with it. And fortunately, all was well.
So
and in fact, we never had a vehicle off the road for want of a spare part.
Was your unit mainly static at first, or pushing forward?
No, we were fairly static for quite a long time, just short of Caen. The Americans were on our right, the Canadians were on our left. Montgomery was very clever in pretending that the advance would come from our sector, whereas in fact it was coming from the American sector, and he transferred almost everything to the American sector until finally he told them, all right, you can go. And they could advance quite rapidly. We had practically the whole lot in front of us, and we were very much tied up.
How much shelling or strafing was there from the enemy?
Quite a lot.
So, did your unit take many casualties?
Oh, yes. But I can't tell you how many.
Did you have any narrow escapes yourself at this time?
There were one or two, yes. I was fortunate.
What exactly happened?
Well, just a very big bang quite close to you. And I wasn't hit.
Was this mortaring?
Mortaring, shelling, I don't know.
Did you have much contact with the Norman civilians?
No, none at all.
Why was that?
Probably we were too busy. But by the attitude of some of them, we were not welcome.
What gave you that impression?
By their attitude, the attitude of the French towards us.
Why do you think they had that attitude?
Because they had suffered quite a lot of damage.
Did they actually complain, to your knowledge?
No, to my knowledge. I never heard of any complaints.
What were living conditions for you in Normandy?
Well, you were in the fields all the time.
You were just exposed to the elements all the time?
Yes, except that you were in a trench.
Did you suffer from mosquitoes or vermin?
No, we didn't.
D- Did you see anything of enemy prisoners at this stage?
Oh, yes, you always saw prisoners, yes.
What condition were they in, or what impression did they make?
They were in quite good condition. Miserable.
Were any of them defiant?
Not that I saw.
Was there any enemy air force attacks in Normandy?
Very little. Well, there was some, yes.
When did the movement come for your unit?
Well, we were outside Caen, and we were held up for a long time, but there was a very heavy bombing attack on Caen, and we eventually got through.
Did you go into Caen yourself? Into the city?
I might have done, but I don't remember.
What did the bombing attack on Caen look like?
Frightening.
Did you have any mishaps with Allied planes attacking your unit?
Not that I remember.
Where did you move to then?
Well, you have a map there. We went through various small places, small villages, across country all the time, until we finally got to Falaise.
What did you see there?
Well, Falaise was what was known as the closing of the gap. The Americans had advanced on our right, and then they swung left, and the Canadians were on our left, and they swung right, and it closed the Falaise gap and enclosed a tremendous number of prisoners and transport and dead horses and so on.
Was it an horrific sight?
Yes. Awful.
Did you feel sorry for the enemy, or did you feel they got what they deserved?
One couldn't feel sorry for them in view of all that they had done.
Did you then chase across France?
No, I was again sent into hospital. I had a little trouble in my arms, which felt very heavy, and I waited until the Falaise Gap battles were over and it was quieter, and I went to the medical officer and showed him my arms and asked him, what is this? And immediately he said, you must go into hospital and I will call an ambulance. And I refused, because as far as I was concerned, I was perfectly fit, except I had rather heavy arms, and I refused to go into hospital. Until finally he said, well, if you refuse, I must put you on a charge. So I told him, well, you'll have to. So he did, and I had to go before the commanding officer. And the commanding officer said, Dan, I'm very sorry, if the medical officer says you have to go into a hospital, there is nothing I can do. And I had to go all the way back to Bayeux, not very far from where we landed.
What did he say was wrong with you?
Thrombophlebitis in my arms.
How had you got that?
I've no idea, but I had it in Kent shortly before we embarked. But fortunately, it cleared up.
Why were you so insistent on not doing as he advised you to do?
Because I had a responsible job to do, and I didn't want to leave it and let somebody else have to take it over.
Did the spell in hospital do you any good?
Whilst I was in hospital, one of the sisters came to me and asked me, would I like to go home? And I remember I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, I think in your condition I could get you home. And it really frightened me. And I told her to go away and don't you dare mention that again. Eventually I was told I could be discharged.
From the army?
From the hospital. I had no means of getting in touch with the regiment because they were miles away, and I had to write to the adjutant. I wrote a letter through the army field post office asking him if he could send transport back to the hospital to collect me. The commanding officer very kindly sent his own jeep, and I was collected from the hospital, and I managed to rejoin the regiment in Armentières.
Had the spell in hospital done you any good?
I think it cleared the trouble I had, yes.
What was the situation of the units once you got to Armentières?
I really don't remember, but I was very glad to be back with them.
Had they suffered much in the way of casualties?
Oh yes, there were casualties.
So was the unit resting at Armentières or...?
No, we were advancing all the time.
Where did you go to? Into Brussels?
Yes. I think we passed through Brussels, yes.
Was there much of a welcome there?
Yes, they were pleased to see us, as they were in Armentières.
Was the attitude of the Belgians any different from that which the civilians had had in Normandy?
Yes, we were made welcome.
Were you still doing your transport work?
Yes.
Was it still going smoothly?
I had some very good fitters who helped keep all the transport on the road, and what they couldn't cope with, it was sent back to Brigade REME, and they were very, very good, and either vehicles were repaired, or if they were a write-off, then you had to get a replacement.
Were you getting enough petrol?
Yes.
Even though the line of communication was getting longer?
Yes.
What happened next?
I don't remember exactly where we went to after that, but I see on the map there is Tongalou, Itovort, and then eventually Eindhoven, but... It would have been somewhere after Brussels. I don't remember exactly where we were when we were taken out of the line and we were sent back to Waterloo to rest. And that was the first rest we had had since we landed. And we were told that we would be able to spend Christmas where we were and could make preparations for that. In fact, we didn't. We weren't able to spend Christmas because on Christmas Eve, the commanding officer called an O group and we had orders to move at first light the next morning down to the Ardennes where the Germans were trying to break through and the Americans were in a bit of trouble. So all day, Christmas Day, we were travelling down to the Ardennes, was thick with snow and bitterly cold.